Amen and good morning. I'm so happy to see you this morning. We have another of our training sessions, our worship training sessions tonight at 5:15. We just want to invite you to be here for that. It's a wonderful time when we get to be together to learn new songs of praise and to be inspired through that process. And I would just want to invite you to make a special effort to be here. I'm suffering from a bit of a cold, but I'm still going to be here tonight. And so I hope that you will be too. You'll make that choice. I still need two more volunteers. If you can help out, if you want to serve tonight so that others can be a part of the training, I need two more people that would be willing to volunteer to help with our child care tonight, one in the nursery with the little ones and one with the ages 3 to 10. So if you can help out with that, please see me at the end of the service today in the foyer, and that would be a tremendous help. So I still need a couple volunteers if you can help us out with that. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Mind Reset, and we're being challenged from Philippians, the 4th chapter, to kind of renew the way we think, to renew our outlooks toward life. And so we've been in this series of lessons for the last two Sundays, and this is part number 3, and we're in Philippians 4, and if you want to look in your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there. We're going to be looking at two verses this morning, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, verses 6 and 7. Americans are a pretty anxious group of people. I was reading about anxiety this week and found out that 1 out of 5 Americans today has an anxiety disorder of some type. 1 in 5. In fact, anxiety is the most common psychiatric ailment in our culture today. In 2002, the World Mental Health Survey found that Americans are the most anxious people that they surveyed, and they surveyed 14 countries. And we were by far the most anxious country. Surveys show that things are not getting better. In fact, they're getting worse among the younger generation. The millennials are among the most anxious generation. In fact, stress levels, when they survey people, have been dramatically increasing over the last couple of decades. Now, I want you to know that if you ever have wrestled with being anxious, if you ever wrestle with being worried, you are not alone, my friend. You are in good company. Now, we can act like as Christians that we don't ever have anxiety, we don't ever worry, but we all know that we do. Well, let me just be the first to step forward. I'm the preacher here, and I'll tell you that sometimes I know something about anxiety. I mean, imagine for a second, picture this. That you have to go to work on Monday morning and speak to 400 people, and you got to take your kids with you. Now, I know something about anxiety. Let me just tell you. Sunday mornings, I'm a nervous wreck every morning before I get up here. I just want you to know that. So I know a little something about being anxious, and I bet you do as well. It's something that we wrestle with. In fact, I was reading this week that according to data that Amazon has gathered, they gather information with people that buy Kindle books, you know, the not the paper book, but the digital book that people read on their iPads and wired devices, that they have compiled information. When people read the most popular books on their Kindles and they highlight passages, what are the most highlighted passages in all these popular novels and books? And then they, as I read through the article, when people read the Bible on their Kindle, do you know the most highlighted passage, the most popular passage in all the Bible? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 that we're studying this morning. Let me read it to you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to look at each phrase in turn in this passage together this morning. But you can imagine, considering the anxiety that we as a people wrestle with in our culture, you can understand why that if people go to the Bible, the passage they're searching for the most is some type of solution, some kind of answer, some type of insight, maybe perhaps an antidote to our anxiety problems. In this text, we see really three ideas in verses 6 and 7. We see a relationship between prayer, anxiety, and peace. What is the relationship between these three concepts? Now, I feel compelled before we get into the text this morning to give a bit of a disclaimer. And the disclaimer that I want to give is the fact that today what we're going to be talking about is everyday anxiety. The everyday type of anxiety or worry that many of us at times wrestle with. In fact, I would say all of us at times wrestle with. We are not talking about this morning clinical anxiety disorders. And let me just say this morning that there may be, in fact, I know that there's certainly, there is, those among us that wrestle with clinical anxiety disorder. For instance, if you have intense fear or panic, and you've maybe been to the doctor or the emergency room at least twice because of a panic attack or an anxiety attack, if you've experienced shortness of breath, chest pain, some type of panic attack, or a social phobia of some type, you should seek medical professional help. And there is tremendous medical help available today. If you suffer from some type of chemical anxiety where you don't have the right types of things going on physically in your body, you need to seek some medical help and maybe some medication that can help you, because you may not have any control over that. But the type of anxiety we're talking about today is not the diagnosed medical problem. We're talking about just the garden variety, everyday type of anxiety that we face. And how do we combat that? How do we deal with that? Well, first of all, I want you to see that this is a common problem. Anxiety is a common problem. Paul starts by this way, and he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." I think it's so interesting that when he starts out here, he does not say, "If you are anxious." He doesn't say, "If you're anxious." He says, "Do not be anxious about anything," which at least to me seems to imply that everyone experiences feelings of anxiousness and anxiety from time to time. Otherwise, he wouldn't feel the need to give such a blanket statement to everybody. The word that is used here that we translate in our English Bibles, anxious here, is a word in the original Greek text that means this: to be overly anxious, literally to be drawn in opposite directions or to be pulled apart. Now, you understand that, don't you? Have you ever had feelings where you've used language like this? "I feel like I'm coming unhinged. I feel like I'm becoming unglued. I feel like I'm coming to pieces." That is what is in view here. Now, we have to be very careful to read passages of Scripture in isolation without understanding the broader scope in which the Holy Spirit is addressing a topic. If you were to pull this phrase by itself out of the Bible, you might come to the, I think, erroneous conclusion that he is saying you should never have these types of feelings, and if you do, you are sinning. Please, 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 do not view these verses as saying that, because they're not saying that at all. And you say, how do you know? The reason I know is because you can examine the ways in which this same word is used throughout the Bible, and you get a more holistic picture of what is in view. The exact same word oftentimes is used in a negative sense. This is the word that Jesus would use in the Sermon on the Mount whenever he says, don't be anxious about your life, or don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Don't you know God knows that you need all of these things? It's the same word, and it's used in a negative sense, much like it's used here. But sometimes the word is used in a positive sense. And interestingly enough, one of the places is in this same letter. Back in chapter 2, in verse number 20, Paul says to these Christians at Philippi, I'm entrusting to you a co-worker of mine named Timothy. And I'm going to send him to you, and I'm so thankful for Timothy because there is no one that has care for you like him. And Paul uses the same word. It could be translated anxiety. No one has anxiety for you like he does. It's the exact same concept. And Paul's using it in a positive sense. That Timothy has such a deep concern for these Christians. And he should have. And Paul is complimenting him for having that level of concern. The same word is used by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25. Whenever he says, we all in the church are different members and we have different functions in the body and we need each other. In fact, Paul would say in that verse that we should have a level of deep, deep concern for each other. And he uses this same word in a positive way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 34, Paul, in talking about marriage, he says, the single person has great concern, same word, might be translated anxiety, has great anxiety, great concern for the things of the Lord, the single person does, but the married person has a divided interest because they not only have deep concern for the things of the Lord, but they have deep concern that how they might please their spouse. And here, the deep concern we have in marriage is presented in a positive light. Even Paul himself would use a derivative of this same word in 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 28 when he talks about all of the things he has to wrestle with in life. You know, he's been shipwrecked and he's been beaten for the faith and all of these things. He says, on top of all of that, I have the constant worry for all the churches, the constant anxiety where I feel pulled to pieces. And he's using it in a positive sense. So I say all of that to say, this is not just a blanket term that Christians should never, ever feel this way. The command is not, do not feel anxious. We all feel anxious at times. The command is, do not be anxious. In other words, it's not that it's sinful to feel this way. But instead, God is saying, I want something better for you than for when you feel that way, for you to camp out there. I don't want you to stay in that place of anxiety where you're feeling pulled apart. Because if you stay in that place, it will poison your spirit. So don't stay in that place. Instead, retreat somewhere else. And we all want that, don't we? If you felt this way, and we all have, and maybe you've stayed there and you've rented a room there in the land of anxiety for a while, you know what a terrible place that is, and you want to move out. You want to be free from being anxious, and the question is how? Verse number 7. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It is really, really overly simplistic, and we can do great harm to each other, and perhaps as preachers, we've done harm to people sometimes. Whenever we're so overly simplistic about things. It's overly simplistic to tell somebody who's wrestling with anxiety to say, well, just stop being anxious. Because for somebody who is dealing with anxiety, or is chronically anxious, if you were to say to them, well, just stop being anxious, they would no doubt respond to you, if they were honest, with some response like this: if I could stop my anxiety, don't you think I would have by now? And so we must not be so overly simplistic. But thankfully, what I love about the Bible, and I love about our God who inspired the Bible, is He doesn't just give us simplistic statements of things that we should or should not do, but instead the biblical inspired authors not only tell us what to do, they often tell us, here's how you do it. So beyond calling for action, like verse number 5 does, we see here in verse number 6, the biblical author giving us the manner in which the action should be performed. You see, I think what really kind of messes up our understanding in these verses sometimes is we misunderstand these connective words, which are so important, like the word here, but, and the word in verse number 7, and. These connective words show us relationship. So he says in verse number 5, do not be anxious about anything. And then we see this word, but. And we almost think that there's this contrast, like you've got two alternatives. You can either choose to be anxious, don't do that, don't choose that, but instead make a different choice and pray. And it's like these are your two alternatives. And so if you look at it that way, it ends up looking like, well, it's really simplistic. Just make the choice. Choose to pray. Don't be anxious. And by the way, if you're being anxious, then you're probably doing something wrong because you're not praying like you should. And sometimes that's maybe a little bit overly simplistic. Rather than looking at what Paul is saying, and I don't think he's doing this, he's not really presenting two alternatives like don't be anxious but pray, but instead he's giving the command in verse number 5, do not be anxious, and then verse number 6 is the explanation of here's how you can do that. And I think the more operative word, more than the word but, is the word by. Don't be anxious. Okay, great. I don't want to be. So what do I do? Okay, here you go. God is saying, look, I want something better for you. I don't want you to be in this place where you're completely just torn to pieces all the time and pulled apart. I don't want that for you. I don't want it for you. And so here is what I want you to do. Pray. Pray. In other words, flood your anxious thoughts with thanks-filled, expectant prayer. Now notice how important that he centers the type of praying we should do is a prayer that is absolutely just bathed in thanksgiving. The kind of praying you should do when you're feeling anxious is a prayer that should count your blessings. Here are the things that God has done for me. Here are the ways in which God has blessed my life. Because God is a God who responds. God is a generous God. God is a God who wants to bless me, who wants to help me. And therefore, I should pray with thanksgiving. And as I'm praying with thanksgiving, then I make specific requests. What specific request? In this context, request about the precise things that you're anxious about. Pray specifically. Make specific requests about the things that are at the center of your anxiety. But as you make those requests, first preface them with lots of thanksgiving to God. I tried to come up with a way to illustrate this, and this is the best I could come up with. So imagine that you've got a fire, maybe a candle or a fire, and you want to put the fire out. Maybe put the candle out. Sometimes you think, well, the best way to put out this fire that's right in front of me is to blow it out. And sometimes that works, just the direct frontal approach, just blow out the flame. But you know, if you have a big enough flame, sometimes by blowing on the flame rather than putting it out, it adds fuel to it. And it actually burns hotter and brighter. If you're feeling that you're being burned on the inside, being consumed by anxiety, the direct frontal approach of, well, I'll just stop being anxious and I'll just blow it out, in fact, many times inflames it even more. And so what the solution that Scripture gives is, rather than try to blow the flame out, you've got to smother the flame. Smother the flame by flooding it with prayer. Flooding it with prayer that is thanksgiving. Smother the worries with prayer. So this series is called Mind Reset. And the kind of the resetting of outlook that we're seeing in this passage this morning is that the state of anxiety, not the feelings of anxiety that we all wrestle with, but the state of being anxious, living in anxiety. What is that? Now, I want you to think about this for a second. What does it mean to be anxious? Not to feel anxious, but to be anxious. If you are in a perpetual state of being in anxiety, most likely part of the reason why is because there are thoughts in your mind that you keep rolling over and over and over and over and over again. You're ruminating on fears or paranoid ideas, what might be, the ifs, the uncertain future, and you're just rolling over these thoughts in your mind. You're trapped in your own thinking. And your own thinking is consuming you and tearing you apart. And what he's saying here is, if you want a different outlook toward life, here's the mind reset you need to make. If you've got anxious thoughts, rather than talking to yourself about the anxious thoughts, shift your mind and start talking to God about your anxious thoughts. Start talking to Him. The same word, a derivative of the same word, the base of the same word that we're looking at here this morning, is used by another inspired writer in the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 when he says, cast all of your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Do you see the mind reset? Instead of talking to myself about my anxious thoughts, I cast my anxious thoughts on Him in prayer and talk to Him, make my request to Him. In every situation, make petitions to Him with thanksgiving about my anxieties and cares. Now notice the result, verse number 7. Notice the word and. The word and here is not a sequence. Instead, it's not like, well, here's another thing, but instead the word and here is indicating the effect. Do not be anxious about anything. I don't want to be. What's the solution? What's God, give me some strategy. Okay, here's your strategy. But by prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request about your anxiety be known to God. And here's the result of that. Here's what will happen if you do that. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. The result of this kind of praying is that God is promising to gift you with a supernatural peace that human reason cannot account for. You can't reason your way into this. You can't think your way into this. You've stopped thinking about it yourself. You've turned the thinking over to God. You've stopped talking to yourself. You started talking to Him. And now there is something that is beyond anything you can think through or understand that is just suddenly poured out over you, gifted to you, the peace of God. And notice that this peace of God provides some protection. It will guard your heart and your mind. God is promising to guard your heart. Now think about anxiety. Anxiety is a lot of times the feelings of anxiety. And so I need to have my heart guarded from my emotions just absolutely getting out of control. I need the peace of God to guard my heart. But also, a lot of times, anxiety starts in the mind with thoughts that are absolutely getting out of control. And so I need the peace of God to guard my mind as well. For those that look for solutions to anxiety outside of the Bible, and they look to popular psychology and these kinds of things, which there's some value there, one of the great techniques that you hear often about stress reduction is learning to take big, deep breaths. When you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling worried, take several big, deep breaths. Because taking deep breaths, what they do is it relaxes your muscles. And you finally just kind of let go and let go of the tension, let go of the stress. Well, I just want to illustrate prayer that way, because in many ways, prayer is like that. When you talk to God about your anxieties, you learn to relax and to release control over to Him instead of trying to handle everything yourself. You turn it over to Him. So praying your worries, praying your anxiety is the key to having both peace and freedom from anxiety. We all have anxious feelings in life, but there is a way to keep from being in a perpetual state of anxiety, to keep from being anxious. Because you see, being anxious, if you have ever lived there for a while, you know how it poisons your soul. When you continue to talk to yourself over and over again about your fears and your worries and your concerns, it will tear you apart. And so what you need is a mind reset in how you deal with those thoughts. Well, if you want to combat any kind of poison, what you need is an antidote. And the antidote to anxiety is to start talking to God about the things that make you anxious. Prayer is like medicine. If you've ever been sick and you've gone to the doctor and they've prescribed a medicine and you really want to get better, then what you don't do is go to the pharmacy and fill the prescription and then go home and you say, okay, I'm going to take the pill today, and you take it today, and then you take it tomorrow, and then you say, you know what, I don't think this is doing anything, and you quit taking it. The medicine's not going to do its job. It's not going to do what you want it to do if you only take it once or twice and then say, well, it didn't work. For any medication to work well, you have to take it as prescribed, daily, consistently. And so, much like a medicine, prayer is the antidote to anxiety. And if I want relief from it, I need to keep on praying until the peace comes. This morning, God wants you to know peace. And I'll just tell you that for some of us, the reason why we don't have peace is because we know deep down that our lives are not right with the Lord. And you know that you don't really have peace with God, and therefore you're anxious about your life because you don't know when you're going to meet the Lord and you're not ready. So the place to start if you want peace for your soul is to go to the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, and let Him bring you and speak peace over your spirit by knowing that you have been saved by His grace and forgiven of your sin. This morning, I just ask you, is your heart right with the Lord? If you need prayers toward that end, we'd love to pray with you. If we can help you with a Bible study, maybe that's the place to start. Maybe you need prayers from the shepherds of the flock privately in the library, or we all pray together here in the auditorium. Or maybe you know that you need to give your life to the Lord, but you just never have really done it. You've never gone all in and given your life completely to Him in repentance and baptism. Well, why not do that today and know the peace of God? If we can help you in that way, with assisting you in your baptism or in any other way, won't you come and know the peace that God can give as we stand and as we sing?